Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
And welcome to the Peacockies.
The first annual Peacockies. It is our award show, the most prestigious award.
I feel underdressed.
It's the most prestigious award show ever. We thought about, is there a shorthand for it? Like, you know, because Peacockies or you know, peacock is two words. It's pea and cock, right? You know, when you put them together, peacock. Like, can we call them the peas? You know, that didn't feel right. And then,
no.
and then like, all right, well, get rid of the pea. And I just, and then my producer Pete said, I have a wife, I have a family.
Yes.
Could you not get me fired?
Food on the there.
Connor in the Chris Rock presenter role. Just hoping
I want
that,
like a little envelope when
Blake
I
doesn't
them.
Come up and punch him in the face.
And the peacock keeps
right.
goes to,
yeah. Keep Will Smith's a wife's name.
Yeah,
out of your
no,
damn
no
mouth.
Wife jokes on this desk.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the second annual Peacockies here at the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside, I think, Matthew Berry and
yes.
Jay Croucher. Year two.
Year two.
For us. We made it
I decided,
to year two.
Yes,
this.
We made it to year two. The Peacockies, big hit. Everyone loved it. They haven't canceled us yet. And so, yeah, here I am, ready to judge, to rule. You know, as you guys know, I won the show league. My team, Live at Noon on the Cock, finished first place overall. I also won bar trivia for Fantasy Football pregame, and I've declared that I will be a benevolent leader. I will rule fairly and justly, and so that is what I've done today with the Peacockies.
Why do you look like a Dalmatian?
I'll be honest with you. So I'll be honest with you guys. You know me. I don't like to lie to the audience.
Dalmatian and a judge.
So here's what happened. So I was going to get a one of those tuxedo T-shirts.
Yeah, that's not a tuxedo
but
T-shirt.
No, thank you, Jay. It's not. And what happened is like, because, you know, I'm bad with time management. I, of course, thought, well, I'll just on the way in, there's a Party City near me, you know, near where we do the show. And I thought, well, I'll just roll in there. I'll grab a, you know. And they didn't have one. They're sold out. Turns out going to a Party City after Halloween for a costume, not the best idea.
Down season.
Yeah, it's a down season for them, you know, in all seriousness. So, like, they were sold out of, like, everything. I'm like, well, what, do you have this? Do you have that? What about this? And they didn't. Like, and, like, well, do you have a judge's robe? And they're like, no, but we have a judge's wig. And I was like, okay. That's and they're so like, funny. And then we got this king's robe. I got a king's robe.
Really piecing
it together.
And
there was a scepter, yeah. And sort of pieced it together. The truth of the matter is and then they went to the king's robe, and the king's robe was actually sold out. So technically, this is a queen's robe, is how it was sold.
Yes.
But, you know, listen, I'm comfortable. But that's why I think the Dalmatians are there as well. My other thought that I had was I should just buy a costume that they had left over. You know, like,
right.
They, right.
What were the options?
Like Ghostbusters.
Right.
Ghostbusters was out. They had a couple of, there was a Spider-Man. There was an adult Spider-Man.
Quite good.
There was a Mr. Incredible from the Disney Pixar movie, Mr. Incredible. That was about
the Incredibles,
and
then, yeah.
There was also like an adult kid, Harry Potter, which I thought about as well. And then I was just like, could I make it work without the, you know, without the Gryffindor, you know, anyway. So I went through a lot. Anyway, this is what I came up with.
Yep. And let me tell you.
This is what I came up with, yep.
There is no king or queen in any kingdom that would wear that without immediate revolution.
That's not true.
I do like your scepter, though.
Thank you.
It's a little scary. There are scissors on the table for some unknown reason. But can I hold the scepter?
Question. Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. There you go.
You can be the hand of the king.
Quite yeah. light.
Yeah. It's not like Thor's hammer, where pretty much you don't have to be worthy to hold it. Anyone can,
yes.
Obviously, as you can see. Yeah, 1,000%. Well, anyway, you know what? Screw you guys.
Screw the people.
Yeah,
good start
to
a reign.
Screw the people.
Yeah. Yes, they will have a peacocky. Let them eat cake or popcorn.
That's right.
Let them eat popcorn.
Let's jump right into it because we have...
Let them have Dollaritas. Dollaritas for everyone.
We have a lot of peacockies to give out, and starting with one that is one of the best, the Fantasy Game of the Year. And let's go to the Fantasy Game of the Year nominees. Ja'Marr Chase in Week 5 with a 52-point performance against Arizona. Amari Cooper in Week 16 against the Texans with a 51.5-point performance. Devon Achane with a statement from the rookie in Week 3 against Denver with over 51 points. DJ Moore against the Commanders, Matthew Berry, in Week 5 with a 49-point performance, 230 receiving yards. Finally, Christian McCaffrey against the Cardinals, who came up on this list more than once, with a 48.7-point performance for Run CMC.
Yeah, you know, I'll speak about Ja'Marr Chase's game. What was exciting about that very quickly was that was the first game we were like, okay, they're back. Because they had struggled early in the year with Joe Burrow and everything like that. And so finally, Ja'Marr Chase with that huge game against Arizona, you're like, yes, he's back. Joe Burrow's back. Yes, the Bengals are back.
Amari Cooper's game, given the timing in Week 16, was epic. Just about the best game a Cleveland Browns receiver has had, and also for how surprising it was, because Flacco mania hadn't entirely taken hold then. Like, he looked competent. He also was not playing great, and then he had that monster game against Houston where they connected on everything.
So these are decided by the fans.
Yeah,
I want to make clear.
Oh, they are.
This is a fan vote.
Why did I dress up then? I thought I was going to be ruling on which one was going to win.
Well, your voice matters.
I guess.
I think you influence the fans
in
a way,
fair enough.
The king does.
Devon Achane, that was the 70-point game. You know, like, there was a lot of fantasy performances
the
there as well.
Of it was,
and I am well aware of that DJ Moore game where my Commanders, formerly coached by Ron Rivera, who had DJ Moore on his team for many years.
Yes.
If anyone in the world knew how good DJ Moore is, it should have been Ron Rivera. At home on a short week against a Bears team that I get to win, and all they did was just leave him in single coverage, leave him wide open. It was awful. And that was when you knew, you know what? This ain't our year.
I think the Commanders were 6-point favorites in that game.
Yes.
How things have changed.
But they were 2-2. I believe that was Week 5, right? They were 2-2 going into that game, and everyone was like, they're going to win, and I think they had the Giants or something next week. Like, all of a sudden, like, the schedule, like, the Commanders have a chance.
Yeah.
And then they came, and here's the, right, as 6-point home favorites, Bears traveling on a short week, blew them out of the water.
Yeah, they
crushed
might be. They might be 6-point dogs now to that same team.
Yeah,
things have changed. 1,000%. Christian McCaffrey, who had a monster season overall, his masterpiece was that game against Arizona in Week 4. Had a pretty good game against Arizona later in the season too, but 177 yards, 4 total touchdowns. Brock Purdy had one incomplete pass in that game and was completely overshadowed by McCaffrey, rightfully so.
So we will do the fan vote,
okay.
But to your happiness, we will do the official winner.
So
the fans' voice will be heard first.
But there's but I'm not part of that committee either. It's like the college football playoff committee. Like I can politic. I can I can say who
you have
I
a
think
lot of
should
sway.
Win. I have sway.
I thought it was you who kicked FSU out. Your Twitter.
Single-handedly.
Honestly, I did. I'm a benevolent leader.
So,
benevolent, fair leader.
Let's take a look at what the fans voted on before we get to the official winner here. And in a sweaty finish, Devon Achane got 36% of the fan vote. Amari Cooper, the runner-up, at 35%, guys. So this is clearly a tight race between the fans. And with that,
Chris McCaffrey getting no love for 4 touchdowns. All right. So here we go. Let's see who's getting the thing. Here we go. And the peacocky goes to, there's the.
That's the peacocky. Peacocky, by the way.
All right. Yes. Yeah, we'll get him back on.
Yeah.
So anyway, here we go. Fantasy game of the year. The winner is, the peacocky goes to Amari Cooper. At Houston Week 16 as well. Well deserved. Jay, I think your point is the most salient here. It happened during the fantasy playoffs.
Timing.
The time that mattered the most for fantasy managers as well. It's the second most fantasy points in a game by any player this season, right? Only one player had more fantasy points. That, of course, was Ja'Marr Chase, who had just, 7.7 more fantasy points in Week 5. But because of the timing of when this happened, to me, it's the fantasy game of the year. I agree. The committee got it right.
All right, and with that, congrats to Amari Cooper, our first winner today of the Peacockies.
Worth noting, by the way, the Texans will have a chance to get revenge on Amari Cooper this Saturday at 4:30 on NBC and Peacock as Wild Card Weekend starts off. By the way, yours truly will be on the sideline.
There you go.
Probably not wearing this.
No, you should try it.
I'll think about that. So we'll see. But anyway, we'll be in Houston excited for that very first game, Texans-Browns. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, will be.
Our second award, best value pick. And the nominees are Raheem Mostert. With an ADP of RP40, he finishes as RB5 in points per game. Mike Evans, with an ADP of wide receiver 32, he finishes as a top 10 wide receiver. Alvin Kamara, RB30 by ADP, he finished as RB3 in points per game. Michael Pittman Jr., with an ADP of wide receiver 31, finishes as a top 15 wide receiver in points per game. And finally, Sam Laporta, not even taken as a top 20 tight end, and he finishes as tight end 3 in points per game.
Yeah, you know, and you can sort of see all these guys obviously well outperformed ADP. You can sort of understand why each one of them dropped. You know, hindsight's being 20-20, but, you know, Kamara coming off the had the three-game suspension and had been bad for 2 years. And so you just weren't sure how healthy he was, how much he was going to be involved with this offense. Michael Pittman, I think the concern was that Anthony Richardson, a rookie quarterback, would be throwing a ton. Sam Laporta, just the concerns about rookie tight ends. And then Mike Evans, honestly, Mike Evans had been bad for 2 years, like just relative to his standards. Again, same with relative to his standards as well. Like, you know, so much of Mike Evans' fantasy production came in that week 18, whatever, the last week of the season last year for Evans. And I think people felt like Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask.
I think that's the thing, is that everyone just thought that the Tampa Bay offense would be completely submarined by the quarterback situation. Meanwhile, Baker statistically outperformed Tom Brady last year. He's actually an upgrade in some ways on Tom Brady. And so Mike Evans, it was kind of the quietest top 8 wide receiver season you'll ever see. So I don't think a lot of people paid attention to it, but he was incredible. Started hot and then also had some great games down the stretch.
Yeah, and then and same with Michael Pittman. I think the lesson here is in terms of Evans and Pittman, like when you know there's going to be volume there, regardless of the quarterback play, like volume is volume. I think, again, like Pittman was putting up points with Richardson too, even before Minshew took over after the injury as well. And I think between Laporta and, you know, Trey McBride, young player, not a rookie, but, you know, we've seen now rookie tight ends suddenly make an impact as well. Dalton Kincaid, another one as well. Mostert, of course, just people, it was a three-headed monster. People just didn't want to piece the Miami backfield.
I think Mostert is a good reminder as well that you just want to buy shares of what you're very confident is going to be an elite offense. Everyone knew that offense would be a monster. We just didn't know who was going to get the volume in it, but Mostert did, and as a result, he's a top 5 running back.
Let's take a look at the fan vote for best value pick before we get to the official winner. And the fans, by a wide margin, vote for Raheem Mostert at 61%, the closest runner-up. Sam Laporta at 26%.
All right, now let's see who the official Peacocky goes to. Come on out here, Peacocky. This is Peacocky.
Why is
hey, come here,
Peacocky.
Turn around here. Like, look at camera one for me. Let's get a shot of this. Hi,
yes,
how are you?
Wow, what a scene.
Please never send this to Sam Flood. That's all I ask. Thank you very much. There you go. Thank you. Good job, Peacocky.
That's way more friendly than when Will Smith punched Chris Rock in the face.
Yes.
That's great. Big
yes.
step up.
Yeah, yeah, no, we love Peacocky here. All right, and the best value picker, you want to do the
I got you open the envelope.
Yeah, it's not
the winner of best value pick is Raheem Mostert.
Raheem
got
Dream.
Much of the fan votes as well. A much-earned Peacocky for Raheem Mostert. What a season it was.
Yep, that's a runaway. That's like Heath Ledger winning for the Joker.
Yeah, I mean, no-brainer here. The fans got it right as well. Tied for the most touchdowns scored this season with 21. More touchdowns this year than in his first 8 seasons in the NFL combined. Entering this year, he had 19 total touchdowns. He finishes with 21. 6 different games with multiple touchdowns as well. If you had Raheem Mostert, chances are you won your league or you were in the finals. He was a proud member of Live at Noon on the Cock. He was one of the reasons why. You went Devon Achane in the draft. I went Raheem Mostert. I ended up winning the title and get to wear this ridiculous outfit.
I went Pat Freiermuth.
Yes. Yep. It's a different way to go.
Yes. No, Mostert was magnificent. Friend of the show as well. Great to see him have success. And I know he got hurt at the end, but also just to stay healthy. This guy's north of 5 yards per carry. Whenever he's healthy and on the field, he's a monster.
All right, our next category is best waiver wire pickup. So let's take a look at the nominees. Kyren Williams, RB2 in points per game, only 4% drafted. Puka Nacua, wide receiver 7 in points per game, only 5% drafted. What a year for those two Los Angeles Rams. Jordan Love, QB5, only 12% drafted. Rashee Rice, wide receiver 15 since week 7, 18% drafted. Trey McBride finishes as tight end 3 since taking over as the starter in week 8. He was undrafted entirely here, guys.
The two Rams to me are the big story. And the Rams have been such a story of the season as well, which I think has gotten a little bit overshadowed by the success that the Texans have had, for instance. But people came into the season thinking that the Rams might have the worst record in football. They were in that discussion. They were huge dogs to beat Seattle in week one, and the fact that Puka Nacua did what he did coming out of nowhere. He'll come second in Offensive Rookie of the Year. Kyren Williams is going to get drafted as a top five running back. When we thought that Cam Akers was the guy there, and we also thought that, well, if it's not Cam Akers, it might be like Ronnie Rivers or someone else. Now Kyren Williams just comes in and finishes the season RB2 in points per game, which is incredible. So he would be my pick.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it makes a ton of sense, obviously. Like, that's the shocking thing is like, I think people were shocked. Why is Sean McVay going back to this?
Yep.
Why did Sean McVay take $20 million or whatever was being offered, rumored, you know, and go call games on Amazon, enjoy a Super Bowl ring, and, you know, Matthew Stafford with a bad back? Why are you coming back to this bad rebuilding team? And, listen, the joke's on all of us that doubted the Rams because they're in the playoffs now with a real shot to play to beat the Lions.
Yep.
Like, that's a great game, and that'll, of course, be on Sunday night on NBC and Peacock. I'm a company man. Kyren Williams, we thought there would be volume there, cheap volume on the Rams, but we all thought it was going to be Cam Akers, who'd had this sort of weird up-and-down year but came back and looked like he was going to be the guy. And then not only do they, like, you know, the first game of the season, you're like, uh-oh. Kyren Williams got, like, some of the goal line work, got some of the red zone work. It was, you know, Akers got some work. And then by week two, you were like, oh, yep, it is, you know, Cam Akers is not long for this team, and that's what ended up happening. The other shocking thing to me about Kyren Williams was, like, for a guy that small, for him to get the kind of workload he continually did and, for the most part, stayed healthy this year.
Yep. What was Cam Akers, like, 22 carries for 29 yards in that first game, which they won against the Seahawks. And Connor, I think, a big underrated story of the season, why Kyren Williams is so effective, why Puka Nacua is so effective, is that we thought going into the year that the Rams might have the worst O-line in football. Like, they're right there with the Titans. And that actually became a perfectly good unit, and that just elevated that entire offense.
It really did. They drafted Steve Avila. They have great coaching. They have a great run scheme, and they're going to have a chance now with draft picks this year to even build that offensive line up more.
I think people were surprised about Puka Nacua. And, I mean, we talked about him in the preseason. Hey, I know the Rams like him. He's having a strong camp, but I would be lying if I said I predicted anything close to this. He was just one of those guys like, hey, you should grab him and stash him on the end of your bench because I think he might be usable at some point because I know they like him. Like, that was the advice that I gave in the preseason on Puka Nacua. He winds up as the seventh best wide receiver in fantasy on a points per game basis. While Cooper Kupp was being productive, that was the other thing that was kind of a learning thing, was that, yes, this offense can still support two fantasy-relevant pass catchers here. Want to quickly mention Jordan Love.
Yep.
Like, I mean, at first it was just sort of, it was fluky fantasy production. He didn't look good. And then over the second half of the year, it was legit fantasy production along with, oh, yeah, this guy's an NFL quarterback. This guy is a legit NFL quarterback. And again, he also led the Packers to the playoffs.
Statistically, by a lot of measures, we talked about this yesterday, Jordan Love was the fifth best quarterback in the entire NFL, as well as being the fifth best fantasy quarterback on a points per game basis. I mean, he did this, to your point, with David Bakhtiari goes down. It's a revolving door receiver all year. No continuity with Christian Watson. So super impressive from Jordan Love. Also super impressive from Rashee Rice, who just showed flashes the first half of the season. We're always wondering, is it finally going to happen? Why don't they throw it to him more? And they started throwing it to him more, and all of a sudden he's developed into a weapon that, you know, could be the difference between Kansas City going to the Super Bowl or not. He was fantastic the second half.
Since week seven, he was the 15th best wide receiver in fantasy football. And if the Chiefs do anything in the playoffs, because it's been a tough road for Kelce, it's going to be Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco that make that offense go. And then finally, Trey McBride. Once Zach Ertz got hurt and Trey McBride took over as a starter in week six, he was the third best tight end in fantasy on a team that didn't have, you know, a great season NFL-wise. There was actually a lot of fantasy production. James Conner was great. You know, Kyler was great when he came back as well. And then, of course, Trey McBride, who I think is probably a top five fantasy tight end next year, even with Kelce back, even with Andrews back. But, you know, Trey McBride was somebody that, you know, just week in, week out, just massive volume. And one guy I would just want to mention here, because there's a couple of guys that could have made this list as nominees, but how about Zach Moss, who's another guy that, like, everyone's like, oh, it's Jonathan Taylor, but then he was, you know, and people weren't sure, is it going to be like Deion Jackson week one? Because Zach Moss was hurt coming into the year. So Zach Moss was just picked up after, you know, either once Jonathan Taylor was placed on IR or after week one when Deion Jackson does nothing. And, like, for the first 6 weeks of the season, like, Zach Moss was awesome.
Yeah.
Like he was, and he had some moments there later in the season too when JT was hurt.
A lot of these waiver wire pickups, I mean, these guys, they lasted the whole year, but I mean, there were moments. Like Josh Dobbs was a really important waiver wire pickup for people. He won people weeks. Zach Moss as well. He won people weeks for a large stretch of the season. So we forget about them because they tailed off and they didn't end the season, but they were fantastic.
Tank Dell was drafted late in a lot of leagues, but he also wasn't. You know, there are definitely some leagues where Tank Dell was picked up as well. I'm surprised we didn't get a nominee for, I guess, Tajay Spears. I think it's because he never got picked up.
Right.
If we had an award for a guy that stayed on the waiver wire for the longest, they would be Tajay Spears. Like, we begged people.
And, best non-rostered player goes to Tajay Spears. Let's take a look at the fan vote for best waiver wire pickup this season. Kyren Williams with a big share of the fan vote, 57%, followed by Puka Nacua at 36%. Not much fan vote for the other three guys. Not a big surprise here.
Trey McBride not getting more of a vote. I mean, again, it's so hard to find valuable tight ends in fantasy, period, and then just to find one sitting on the waiver wire. And McBride was so consistent week in, week out. It wasn't like just a couple of spike weeks. Like, he just got massive volume. But all right, Peacocky, come on out. Waddle on out here. Flume. What is it when Peacocky, they flume? What do they do? What's it called there?
That's an Australian band.
Thanks, brother. There you go. Mr. Croucher.
All right, and the Peacocky for best waiver wire pickup goes to Kyren Williams. Congratulations, Kyren. Great season.
Right.
This is the highlight.
For, well earned as well.
Well earned for Kyren Williams, who we've talked about, guys, is expected to be a first round fantasy pick and a, you know, like you said, Jay, a top five running back pick as well.
Easy.
Are you surprised that he's been able to handle this workload?
The workload, yes. And I know he got banged up for a little bit in the middle of the year, but I mean, I always loved him as a third down pass catching back because he's a great blocker, reliable pass catcher, good contact balance. But this kind of workload, guys, with the consistent 20 plus carries a week after week and never looking to slow down is what shocked me.
It is insane because you look at someone like Jonathan Taylor in that Saturday night game and how he's built like a fridge.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, that makes sense. That guy can carry the ball 25 times. You know, Kyren Williams. It's incredibly impressive he's been able to sustain. And also, they've been willing. He was playing like 100% of the snaps in some of these games. Right. Just never comes off the field. It's like him, McCaffrey, Max Crosby does it as well, but so few players do.
But that was the knock on McCaffrey coming out of college. Yeah. Like, again, people were like surprised. I think Carolina took him at 7 overall, and people were like, listen, we know he's a special player, but this guy, he's a gadget player. This is not a guy that can handle a full workload in the NFL. That was the knock on McCaffrey.
Yeah, size and just overall questions of durability.
I mean, so it's just like sometimes there's just those guys that, like, you know, and Kyren Williams has proven he can handle that workload. So congratulations. Like I said, I think the committee and the fans got it right.
Our next award, the Rookie of the Year, of course, in fantasy football. C.J. Stroud finishes as a top 10 quarterback. Puka Nacua, second nominee in a row here, wide receiver 7. Devon Achane, RB5, but did miss 6 games. Jahmyr Gibbs, RB7 in points per game. And, of course, Sam Laporta, who finished the year as tight end 3 here, fellas. What a impressive rookie class that we don't even have the likes of, you know, Tank Dell on this list.
Or Rashee Rice, who was nominated for waiver wire pickup. Yeah, I mean, like, there were other guys.
Bijan Robinson can't even make the nominees.
I mean, that's amazing, right? Think about that. Bijan Robinson couldn't even make the nominees. That's what Arthur Smith will do to you. That's amazing.
Bijan Robinson is like
Arthur
plus
Smith,
150
for all your faults, Arthur Smith, you also cost Bijan Robinson a Peacocky. For the love of God.
A nominee.
Not even nominated.
By the way, I don't have an argument with that. Like,
no,
I sort of like.
Got no case
with this list.
Bijan Robinson was, relative to draft position, Bijan Robinson was a disappointment.
Rashee Rice is over Bijan relative to ADP, I think.
Same with Tank Dell. If Tank Dell doesn't get hurt, Tank Dell might win this award.
Jaden Reed, another guy.
Jaden Reed was great.
A lot of
great,
you know, potential here.
We forget with C.J. Stroud that no one expected him to be this at all. The Texans were projected to be the worst team in the AFC, and that was largely because they had a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line with, at the time, it looked like not that many great skill position players. That changed pretty quickly. But Stroud, an absolute monster, and I think he reminded everyone clearly what he is on Saturday night.
If there was a rookie quarterback, everyone was thinking it would be Anthony Richardson, which, by the way, if he had not gotten hurt, I think he's definitely a nominee. Devon Achane, people knew about the talent and the great fit with Miami. We just didn't know what would the workload be with Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert there. Wilson gets hurt, opens the door for Achane. He didn't miss 6 games, but still, when he was out there, he was special. Took a little while for Jahmyr Gibbs to get going, but once Dave Montgomery got hurt and they were forced to go to Gibbs, everyone was just like, oh, there you go. That's why they used, what was it, the 12th overall pick on Jahmyr Gibbs? that's why they used the 12th overall pick on Jahmyr Gibbs. And then again, Sam Laporta as well. Like, people were like, why would a team that's like ascending trade TJ Hockenson, which is what they did last year, and they go out and they fill it with Sam Laporta, and you're like, okay, yeah, we love Hockenson, but Laporta's just as good.
Yeah. Achan is in a way the most memorable, even if he's probably not the right winner for this award, just because the way that he, particularly in the Broncos game, but then also other runs that he had, where he just, the visual sensation of watching that guy, it reminds me of, like, remember that playoff game that Colin Kaepernick had against the Packers where he runs for like 100, it's like, what sport is he playing? It's like, right, with Achan, like, what game is this? This doesn't look like football. He's like gliding along the field, but he was magnificent and great that he is in position to have a good playoff.
The other, you know, the game that reminds me, do you remember the Monday night, the Michael Vick, yes, Monday night game against Washington?
Yeah,
I remember. I was actually in the stadium for that game. I flew down to Washington to watch them play.
With Chip Kelly's tempo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and Michael Vick, like the first, like one of the first plays from scrimmage was like a 90-yard bomb.
Sean Jackson.
Sean Jackson. And then like he was running all over the field. I think he had 6 touchdowns that game. Like, just Michael, that was another one where you're just like, he's a video game. Like, he's playing a different speed than everyone else.
They're snapping the ball with like 30 on the play clock. Yeah,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the fan vote for Rookie of the Year, which is, of course, led by, Puka Nacua at 42%.
Wow.
Beats out C.J. Stroud at 38% here, guys. I'm a little surprised. I knew these would be the top two, but
I'm actually shocked that Stroud gets that much of the fan vote. Again, like, NFL-wise.
Yeah.
Right.
NFL-wise.
This is fantasy-wise.
But fantasy-wise, again, in one quarterback leagues where Stroud was quarterback 9, exceeded expectations, but, you know, it was like a borderline QB1. He missed a couple of games as well. Like, just because of the it's so hard to find elite running backs. So Gibbs and Achane, who went much later in drafts, even Laporta, again, getting that kind of production out of a rookie tight end who was drafted outside the top 10 at the position to finish as tight end 3 in fantasy. I'm surprised Stroud got that much of the fan vote. But let's see what the official committee end up. Thank you, Peacocky. Good job. Is it hot in there? Yeah, you're nodding off camera. Good job. A lot of people.
Yes.
Peacocky's not necessarily used to being on TV. But the Peacocky for Rookie of the Year goes to Puka Nacua. Rightfully so.
Puka Nacua. It means Peacocky.
Yes.
It does mean Peacocky. He's the only wide receiver with more 100-yard games this year. The only wide receivers with more 100-yard games than Puka Nacua this year, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Pretty good company to be in. Fourth most receiving yards in the NFL this season, period. He had over 100 receiving yards in 3 of his first 4 career games, and obviously set the rookie record for receptions and receiving yards. He is literally in the NFL record books, Jay Croucher.
Yeah, he's been a monster. In any other season, he would be your offensive rookie of the year. And I think he's the clear choice over Stroud because, one, he peaked at the end of the season, which is the right time for the fantasy playoffs. And Stroud, as amazing as a year as he had, and you brought it up, but, I mean, week 14 to 17, he effectively did nothing because he was either hurt or he had that tough game against the Jets. It's not to diminish his season, but fantasy-wise, I mean, Puka Nacua had more receiving yards than A.J. Brown and Jamar Chase. Like, it's insane what he did.
Yeah, exactly. C.J. Stroud got too many votes for fantasy rookie of the year. I have decreed this.
All right. Let's get to
a knighting.
I'm knighting Connor.
Oh, that's an honor.
Yeah,
honestly, I swear
Sir
to
Connor.
Defend you.
Yes.
All right,
Connor.
Surprise category number 1.
Okay,
is what I've been told.
Oh,
best New York sports analyst studio nominees.
Okay,
Alan Hahn.
Yeah, he's
of course,
great.
Covers the Knicks. Does a great job. Bart Scott, my teammate at SNY, does a great job with the Jets. Some fool named Connor Rogers, who also covers the Jets.
Yes,
John
O'Flaherty. Just got knighted, Sir
from
Connor Rogers.
Network.
From the Yes Network.
Todd Zeal.
Oh,
I like him.
Todd
Zeal's the best.
I like that Zeal fella.
Yeah, Todd Zeal does great work over there at SNY.
Covers the Mets.
Covers the Mets, of course.
Wally Zerbiak, who covers the Knicks.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And so, the Peacocky.
Goes to
you
the
can
Peacocky.
Read this one, Barry.
There we go. Yeah, I will as well. Go ahead. Turn to the camera so they get a full view of you, Peacocky. There we go. Nice job. You look fantastic. There you go. Yes, look at you fluming. That's right. There you go. Say hi to the ladies. Oh, and the best New York sports analyst goes to Connor Rogers.
What an
there
upset
you go.
Win.
Well, upset win. I personally voted for Todd Zeal, just so you know.
Yes.
But congratulations.
I voted Zerbiak, too, and Rogers 3.
Yeah,
Zeal 1, Zerbiak 3,
Rogers
3.
Shocking moment with the NBA.
Shocking moment at the NBA.
Well, I'm
congratulations
honored, guys.
Here. This is for you.
Thank you.
Your acceptance speech.
My speech is that it's what a comeback story.
Yeah.
After the big loss a couple months ago.
Yes.
It's I'm very honored, and yep. Talk about a Cinderella moment.
Shades of Baker Mayfield, turning it around. Yes. Left the dead.
100%. Comeback host of the year.
Yes.
He down lost the Emmy, but then wins the Peacocky. Yes.
Which, you weigh them, you kind of rather have this.
I'll tell you what, the Peacocky gets you more free drinks.
Yes.
I'll tell you that.
That's right.
And popcorn.
Peacocky winners,
and
popcorn, as always, drink free season. Here at the Happy Hour. The postseason is upon us, and we're getting it started with three huge wild card games this weekend. It all starts with a Saturday doubleheader. The Browns head to Houston to face the AFC South champs. Then, streaming exclusively on Peacock, Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins face Patrick Mahomes and company in Kansas City.
A perfect gift for the Swiftie and your family.
We're going to break when we're back. More Peacockies when we return.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Welcome back to the second annual Peacockies. Jay, I'll let you take this one away.
Best Heathmont College alumnus. Three nominees, Chris Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth, and the third Hemsworth brother, Jay Croucher.
Right.
Hey. All right.
You talk to the kids at Heathmont College about what alumni they're most proud of.
You want me to know?
Both Hemsworth brothers, and obviously Jay Croucher gets mentioned quite a bit. Who's the best one?
This would be savage if it doesn't say Jay Croucher if the last one said Connor Rogers. This would be a twist.
Best Heathmont College alumnus goes to Jay Croucher.
There we go. Yes. Wow. Take that, Hemsworth. Oh, and here we go. Sorry, we pulled a Steve Harvey. It actually goes to Thor.
Oh. No, that's the correct answer, by the way. That's it. There you
Shades
go.
Shades of La La Land, Moonlight.
This is
exactly.
This is
Steve Harvey. You're the new Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
100%. And look, I'll just say this. I think the committee got it right.
Yes, no, they fixed up the mistake. I'll cop it.
You'll bounce back.
Damn Hemsworth.
All right, breakout player of the year. Let's take a look.
But you know what you could do?
Yeah.
You know what you could do? Go back. Hank, come back to us for a second, Steven.
We'll get back to breakout player of the year.
Jay, here's what you should do. Why don't you accept the award on Thor's behalf?
Yes.
Why don't you, or you just take a quick couple minutes and say, give a thank you speech for Thor.
For Thor. I don't want to give a thank you speech for Thor. I don't like Thor. Thor's my enemy. Yeah, and I lost to him.
But he won.
No, I'm not gracious at all. I get very upset when I lose things. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you did that. When I lost the Emmy,
right?
Todd wasn't there. Yeah. Todd went home for the offseason. So one of my teammates at SMY had to go up and accept the award.
Oh, wow.
But I'm glad they didn't ask me to do that because I lost.
Yes, that would have been awkward.
So this is a very similar situation.
Very similar. Yeah. Would you like to accept the award for Thor?
No, not really.
Well, I'm an Avenger as well, so I will.
Yeah, this is perfect for you.
In fact, on behalf of Thor, I would just like to say no honor means more to me today in this 1 minute than winning a Peacocky. Thor thanks all of his loyal fans and everyone that voted for him to win this prestigious Peacocky award. In the words of Thor, thank God it wasn't Jay. All right.
Okay. Hail to the king.
Yes.
Back to breakout player of the year. The nominees are.
Yes.
Kyren Williams.
Obvious.
Massive season. Puka Nacua. Obvious. I don't know if you heard, he broke the single season record for receptions and yards for a rookie. Raheem Mostert, 21 scrimmage touchdowns. He had 19 career touchdowns entering this season.
Right.
Nico Collins, over 1,100 receiving yards in 14 games. His previous high didn't even make it to 500. And finally, Rashad White. third most scrimmage yards among running backs through week 17.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if the voters will do this, if the committee will do this, but I would like to see, like, Nico Collins or Rashad White get some love. It's been a lot of Puka. It's been a lot of Kyren Williams. My guess is that they'll go with one of those. They're kind of the sexy, obvious names here. But it would be nice to honor the Buccaneers offense, the kind of year, very underrated year that Rashad White had, very underrated year that Nico Collins had, because it was all about Tank Dell and then C.J. Stroud. But Nico Collins has become a legit wide receiver one in fantasy, and I think he'll be drafted inside the top 20, 25 overall next year. I don't think you get out of the third round next year without Nico Collins going off the board in most drafts.
Feels like he's got upside to come as well, because that offense should get better. They might stop running the ball on first and 10 every single time as well, which would be handy. He and Rashad White, they are the two more art house choices, a bit more kind of blockbuster.
They're the Jay Crouchers compared to
the Hemsworths.
Thors.
Yes.
No, the Hemsworths
That's
of
true.
The world.
Yeah, no, I am Rashad White.
Let's take a look at the fans' vote before announcing the official winner. And the fans are siding with, of course, Kyren Williams. Puka Nacua. Kyren Williams Rashad takes 35%. Puka Nacua takes 33%. Nico Collins got 15%.
I'm surprised Nico Collins gets more votes than Mostert, though. I mean, Mostert was like a special teams guy. He'd never really been a featured running back. And this was a guy that you counted on week in, week out when he's out there.
Yeah, I don't agree with this.
Let's see who the
Peacocky goes to.
The Peacocky.
Thank you, Peacocky. Here we go.
Breakout player of the year officially goes to Kyren Williams. A very Oppenheimer.
Very true. Yeah.
Kyren Williams.
Oppenheimer's way better than Kyren Williams.
I mean, but Kyren Williams did. I mean, like, he was a backup on a team that we thought was going to be bad, and he finishes the year as the number two running back. In fantasy, he was the number two running back on points per game in the final seven games of the regular season. He averaged over 20 fantasy points per game in literally half his game. Seven of the 12 games he played this year, he got over 20 fantasy points. He's the first Rams running back to have over 1,000 yards rushing since Todd Gurley in 2018 as well. He was just, I mean, you know, he was hurt for a little while, which is the only thing that you could sort of ding him about. But, like, my way, way, way too early top 50 rankings are out. And, like, I have Kyren Williams as a top five fantasy running back next year. Like, you're obviously taking McCaffrey ahead of him. I think you can make an argument for Breece Hall over him, which I have. And I think you could make an argument for Jonathan Taylor over him. But hard to argue anyone else over Kyren Williams based on the year he just had.
Yep, absolutely. And that offensive line is in place. Stafford will be back. Kupp, Nacua on the outside. I mean, it should be again.
McVay's going to be back, right.
Yep, it should be a top five offense.
All right, our next category is biggest bust. Fantasy football, the toughest Peacocky. Nobody wants to come home with this one.
The Razzie.
Austin Eckler, ADP was RB2, finished outside the top 20 running backs. Tony Pollard, ADP was RB6, finished outside the top 20 running backs. Bijan Robinson was drafted very early as a top five back, finished as RB19 in points per game. T. Higgins, ADP of wide receiver 14, he finished as wide receiver 40. Travis Kelce, our final one, of course, the first tight end taken, a mid-first-round pick. Six other tight ends finished within 2 points per game of Kelce.
Kelce had a nice year, but the argument for taking a tight end in the first round is that he's going to be so much better than every other tight end, and he just wasn't. Like, he was a very good fantasy tight end, but so was Sam Laporta, so was T.J. Hockenson, so was Mark Andrews while he was healthy, so was George Kittle for a lot of the year, so was Trey McBride when he took over. Like, that's the reason for Kelce being on the list as well. Higgins started slow, got hurt, that whole offense. It was just a tough year for the Bengals. You know, Bijan Robinson, the other thing about Bijan Robinson is that Bijan Robinson, not only did he not live up to the billing, but he absolutely killed you in the first round of the playoffs. You know, I have a team that was number one, and I was in a 16-team league, and Bijan was my first-round pick, like at, you know, pick 14 in the first round or whatever, and I lost in the first round of the playoffs despite being the number one seed because, whatever, Bijan got less than a full point in that week 15 game. Not to mention, by the way, don't you remember the game that Arthur Smith got fined for?
Yes.
The migraine game where no one knew that he wasn't going to play, and everyone, so he got a zero there. So just, you know, Bijan hurt you in a number of ways. None of it's his fault.
No, and he closed the season better than that middle stretch of the year, and I think he's clearly going to be a top 10 running back next year when he goes in drafts, and he should be, and you would expect it's only up for Bijan given the talent is undeniable. Some of these other guys, my choice here would be Tony Pollard, just given that I thought there was a chance that he could be the number one overall player in fantasy, and he doesn't get hurt, and he's on an elite offense where his quarterback has an MVP caliber season, and he finishes outside the top 20 for running backs on points per game. That's insane. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, because like you think about Eckler, but you know Eckler got hurt to start the season, and then the whole season just went down the tubes for the Chargers. Like Herbert got hurt, Keenan Allen misses time, they lose Mike Williams in the middle of the season. Like it just, you know, and then they ultimately lose Herbert for the year. It just, the whole thing was just a disaster. Obviously, Brandon Staley gets fired midway through the year as well. So it was the Chargers, it was a lost year for that whole team. But for the Cowboys, where everything went right and Tony Pollard stayed healthy all year, for him not to produce on an offense that produced in every other facet, and it's not like he lost his job. Tony Pollard got opportunities, just didn't do much with them. So I'm with you, Jay. That would be my choice. Let's see what the fans did here.
As we take a look at the fan vote for biggest bust, Austin Eckler leads the pack with 55%.
Oh, come on. That's
of the
guys,
vote. Harsh crowd.
Eckler's one of us. Eckler's a fantasy manager, too.
Like, I don't agree with this.
I don't agree with this as well. Eckler wasn't up to his usual standards as well, but, like, again, I think he was hurt, and, yeah. Okay, the fans got it wrong. Let's see if the committee actually got it right. Thank you, Peacocky. Good job. Biggest there you go. Best. I like the praying motion here. All right. The Peacocky for biggest bust goes to
Tony Pollard. There we go.
Pollard. There you go.
Good
the
job,
committee got it right. Yes. The committee got it right.
What's wrong with
the
you fans?
Fans won Florida State, but no. The committee got it right, ultimately.
Jalen Milroe gets in.
Yeah, 1,000%. Tony Pollard. Look, he had 71 red zone touches this year. 71, Jay.
Yeah,
he scored only 5 touchdowns on those touches. Under 80 rushing yards in every game this year except one. Single-digit fantasy points in every single round of the fantasy playoffs as well. Weeks 15 through 17, he averaged just 6.3 fantasy points per game. He is clearly the fantasy bust of the year.
Tough scene watching him just get stuffed with the line over and over again.
Yeah.
And look, some of it was, I don't think the O-line was as good as a run-blocking unit this year. And also, he left players on the table. Think about that pass over the middle he dropped against Detroit a couple of weeks ago that he could have taken 60 yards to the house. Tough year for Tony Pollard. Hopefully, he is better off of the broken leg and with another year.
Right, but the thing of it is that when you think about all those red zone touches that he got, Rico Dowdle, who got significantly less red zone touches, scored basically the same.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just, again, and I'm not saying Rico Dowdle's great, but Rico Dowdle on much less red zone touches basically produced the same as Tony Pollard, who got more than double his amount of work in the red zone. So I just, you know, same offensive line, same play calling, you know, anyway.
On a more positive note, how about the fantasy MVP? And the nominees are Christian McCaffrey.
Wow, I'm not on this list.
Mr. RB1, Tyreek Hill, Mr. Wide Receiver 1. CeeDee Lamb, Wide Receiver 2. Josh Allen, QB1. Jalen Hurts, QB2.
Yeah, all these guys were awesome. I mean, you could make an argument for should Raheem Mostert or Puka Nacua or Kyra Williams, people that not only produced but cost you so little.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the guys that just, you know, Tyreek, my guy Ates, Lamb and Hurts, in a year that was down for a lot of quarterbacks, those guys were the top two taken in most drafts, and they produced that way. And, of course, Christian McCaffrey is just Christian McCaffrey. Once again, just ever since he got to San Francisco, he's been the best player in fantasy, period.
Yep. The only thing with McCaffrey is that week 17 didn't really have his best game, so in terms of the playoffs, perhaps not. And he was good the couple weeks before that, but I think still he would be the choice just because he was the number one player in fantasy.
Yeah, I think my guess is it has to be – and by the way, just you talk sort of about value. People were able to get McCaffrey in the middle of the first round because they were going with Jefferson, Jamar Chase. I saw some leagues where Cooper Kupp went ahead of him as well. So people were, you know, sort of scared off by the injury history that had happened previously. So there was a little bit of value to McCaffrey. If you didn't draft him number one overall, you made profit on Christian McCaffrey. Let's see where the fans vote.
As we take a look at the fans vote here, which is led by Christian McCaffrey, 73% of the votes. Jalen Hurts with an all-time
under 1%. What
fan votes low. I agree with the fans. I like that CeeDee Lamb was the runner-up, by the way. I think CeeDee Lamb has a good case when you consider where he was drafted.
I call him Eights, but yeah.
Well, you're his friend.
Yeah, we're buddies.
All right, let's get the official winner.
There we go. Here's the Peacocky. There we go.
The Peacocky for the fantasy MVP.
I like that, you know, there's like string holding his...
it's back together.
Yeah, here you go.
Fantasy MVP goes to Christian McCaffrey, of course.
Deserving winner.
CMC, a very deserving winner.
No controversy.
The committee got it right.
Yes. Well done,
committee. On fire. Well done.
Yeah, look, he's the only running back with multiple games of 40 or more fantasy points as well. There were three games this season where he didn't have over 100 yards from scrimmage. Just three. Every other game, he had at least 100 yards from scrimmage. Most scrimmage touchdowns in the NFL, he was tied for the lead there. Actually had a career high in rushing yards this year for CMC. Concerns in the preseason about, oh, would Elijah Mitchell take some of the work away? And Elijah Mitchell got hurt a lot. But the concerns about the injury and also the splits between what he was without Mitchell on the field versus what he was, I think, again, depressed his draft day price. He ended up going in the middle of the first round. But number one running back in fantasy, number one player in fantasy, my way too early top 50. He's the obvious number one overall for 2024.
Yep, very deserving. And when people talk about running backs not mattering in football, Christian McCaffrey is the prime example of why they do. And what he gives you in the receiving game, both in real life and fantasy, is what separates him and makes him one of the great running backs of the past 20 years.
All right, let's move over to fantasy playoffs.
Yes.
MVP. The nominees are CeeDee Lamb, led all players in fantasy points weeks 15 to 17. Christian McCaffrey averaged over 26 points per game in that same stretch. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the only non-quarterback with 20-plus points in all three playoff rounds. Ride or die, Mr. Consistency. Kyren Williams, 23.7 points per game in that week 15 to 17 stretch. And, of course, Lamar Jackson, the real-life NFL MVP, led all quarterbacks in scoring in weeks 15 to 17, capping it off in fantasy championship week with a 36-point performance that probably won a lot of people a title this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, that 36-point game for Lamar in week 17 just clinched it. CeeDee Lamb, obviously, with the monster game against Detroit as well. So, you know, boy, there were a lot of good nominees. Any one of these, I would. By the way, Kyren Williams, again, almost 24 points per game over the playoffs. Like, Kyren Williams just kept producing as well. I'm curious how the fans voted.
Well, let's take a look then, how the fans voted for the fantasy playoffs MVP. As you see, CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, my guy,
54% of the votes, a runaway with the fans here, with Amon-Ra St. Brown as the runner-up at 22%.
Yep. He's my fantasy ride or die. You know, I'm going to – I personally would vote for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's my ride or die. He's my
ride or die. What's the justification for that? CeeDee Lamb literally scored more points than everyone else.
Yeah,
but he's cut and dry.
He was the first one.
No. Yeah. Amon-Ra was the only non-quarterback with 20 or more fantasy points in all three playoff rounds. The consistency every single week, every single round through the playoffs, Amon-Ra St. Brown came through for you.
That's
the only non-quarterback.
Yep. Well, let's see who took home.
Let's
the
see
award.
Who took to home. The very proud Peacocky. Look at you. Look at these. By the way, look at what's going on here with this. I don't think this is a regulation outfit. All right, there we go. Fair enough. All right. Fine. I don't know what that was.
Right.
Should I call HR? Did I just get hit by a peacock?
Fantasy playoffs MVP goes to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Unbelievable.
The committee can be bought.
Yeah, once again, the committee gets it right. Fantastic. I've ruled that the committee is correct. Look at Amon-Ra St. Brown. Just getting in there.
Not since Crash won over Brokeback Mountain has anyone been so screwed than CeeDee Lamb in an awards race.
I have decreed this is correct. This is awesome. You know, take to your dark web. Argue about it on Reddit, Jay Croucher. But the fact of the matter is that Amon-Ra St. Brown had nine different games with 100 more receiving yards. Most in the NFL. Here's the entire list of wide receivers with 1,500 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns this year. Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I said at the beginning of the year that Amon-Ra St. Brown should be considered an elite fantasy wide receiver. It's my ride or die. But he's not considered in that same elite territory. And now, obviously, he finally is. The crowning achievement is of a great career, his Peacocky. Well done.
Unbelievable. I'm shocked Sam Howell didn't win this award or RG3's rookie season didn't win this award.
They were nominated. They were certainly nominated as well. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's getting it. We're fitting him for a ring for Live at Noon of the Cock. He was on the team. Him and CeeDee Lamb. But, listen, the consistency is what, every week.
We close out with some surprise categories. Best food Barry consumed on live TV. Yeah. The nominees are 25 Chicky Tendies, 30 Bavarian-style pretzel sticks, 5 gallons of free popcorn, or 3 dozen Dollaritas.
All right, there we go. Here's the Peacocky. You're not allowed to talk, right? No, you're not. No, you're looking at me. Okay, yeah, Ooh, look, what's in my belly? Yeah. All right. Well, stay here, Peacocky, for this last award here.
Best food Barry consumed.
Well, hang on. What do you think the fans would
live television?
The Dollaritas.
Fans
would vote
the Dollaritas.
Oh, okay.
The Dollaritas. I mean, like, I love the popcorn, but I feel like the Dollaritas got to be the. You enjoy Dollarita, Peacocky? He's not sure if he's allowed to brand wise. All right, fair enough.
The winner is three dozen Dollaritas.
Yeah, let's go.
Dollaritas.
Served to you by Appleby's.
Yes,
very disturbing.
Friends at Appleby's. You know what they don't serve at Appleby's is peacock. That's right. You could walk in there. Say,
this is my favorite category. Most thrown under the bus this season. The nominees are producer Adam, Penn State Blake, producer Pete.
Backup producer Pete.
Stupid Dev.
Yeah, our graphics guy. Stupid Dev.
Producer Damien.
Yeah.
Producer Steven.
Our main producer Steven.
Dan in Mexico.
Yep.
And our final nominee is Party City.
Party City. That's right. Well, this is why I'm wearing this ridiculous outfit. Producer Adam, of course, that's alternate producer Adam.
That's Penn State Blake.
Who do you think this is? Penn State.
We should get votes on this.
Come here, Blake.
Penn State Blake, come on out here. See if it's you.
This is Penn State Blake, who's our researcher.
Penn State Blake had a tough year. I mean,
he had a tough year, too.
Stupid Dev had a pretty tough year as well.
Dev had a lot of airtime.
His name is literally Stupid Dev.
Yes. Dev had a lot of airtime.
All right, most thrown under the bus this season. The Peacock, he goes to Penn State Blake.
Congrats, Penn State Blake. Well earned.
What a great achievement.
Man, what a great achievement. The Academy really nailed that.
And let's just say that anything that I got wrong on the show the entire year is the entire fault of Penn State Blake and faulty research. Blame him, Blake Friedman. Here you go. Your Eagles are going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, too.
Go Eagles. Yeah. Very close to the season.
Probably. There you go. There we go. All right. Thank
at least
you,
the Flyers just showed their best prospect in the last three
keep
decades.
Running, and there's a bus that's coming by in a couple minutes there.
We'll be back. Some bets coming your way.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this playoffs. New customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Yes.
It is time for last call.
The crown is, in fact, yours.
As we look at the Super Bowl championship odds here, fellas. Jay, what do you like as your best bets for the playoffs futures?
So my best bet at the moment is Lamar Jackson to win Super Bowl MVP, which is plus 380. On DraftKings, and the reason I like this bet is that the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, waving the scepter, is plus 310, and Lamar is plus 380 to win Super Bowl MVP. So that means if you think Lamar is more than an 85% chance to win MVP if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, then Lamar is the better bet. I think there is just about no player in history more likely to win Super Bowl MVP on their team than Lamar Jackson, given he is the entire offense. It would take Kyle Hamilton having like three picks to beat Lamar Jackson, given how integral he is to that team. And if it's ever a close race, it goes to the superstar quarterback.
Nice, yep. What about you, Matthew?
I like that call. How about Amon Ross St. Brown to lead the NFL in receiving yards during the playoffs at plus 650? Now, they're going to have to get past the Rams here, but you know what I mean? Like, the fact is like taking somebody from the Ravens or the Niners because they miss a game because of the bye, the extra game there. If you think the Lions go far, and they're going to have a tough matchup against the Rams, but that's a bad secondary, especially with the injury to Sam Laporta. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown gets a ton of receiving yards. I'll take him at plus 650.
One for me, Brock Purdy being the passing yards leader at plus 700. It's obviously valued that way because of the bye week. He's got to get to the Super Bowl, but we know what kind of high-octane offense this could be under Kyle Shanahan. One thing, guys, why we've been handing out the Peacockies, Mike Vrabel fired is the words we have seen from multiple sources.
just shocking to me.
Now, this is from Ian Rapoport. His wording was, he will not return 2024 as both sides will move on after six seasons. But I want to note that both Adam Schefter and Diana Russini, who ESPN and The Athletic have used the word fired.
Either way, Mike Vrabel's no longer going to coach the Titans, and he'll be a hot coaching candidate. I would love him on the Commanders.
Yeah.
I think he makes a lot of sense, man. if the Patriots move on from Bill Belichick, if that situation becomes – Rappaport's right. He will be one of the top candidates involved. I'm shocked that the Titans are doing this.
He won Coach of the Year 2 years ago. He got a team with Ryan Tannehill and no Derrick Henry to the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, they always play tough for him as well. Like, just an idea. He goes to Atlanta, retains Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator, signs Derrick Henry to make a committee with him and Bijan and Algier. They've already got Jonnu Smith there. Just, I'm throwing it out there. Just think about it. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Peace out. We love you, Peacocky.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nexco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Nexco, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.